Our lesson this morning is out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, Christ's agenda in giving spiritual gifts. Paul wrote Ephesians to encourage believers of God's word to edify the church regardless what happened to him at his imprisonment. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 thus teaches Christ's edifying agenda in giving spiritual gifts to the church as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get into his word. Father, we're so grateful for your loving kindness in sending us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to bear our sin, that we, by faith in Christ, might be forgiven, might be born into the family of God, and then by your grace gifted with spiritual gifts so that we might actually serve you in building up one another in Christ. We ask, Father, that we would take advantage of the insight that is provided for us in your word, relying on the Spirit of God, who has gifted each one of us as believers, that we might do that which is pleasing in your sight this day in the building up of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children or babes, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but literally truthing in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, Paul had stated back in Ephesians 4:7 that every believer has been given a spiritual gift for ministry in the church. Peter mentions this too, I believe it's 1 Peter 4:10. As each man has received the gift, let him use it. So if you know Christ as your Savior, the moment you were born again, the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were actually given a supernatural gift for service. And that supernatural gift equips you in the power of the Spirit of God as you rely on the Lord to build up other Christians. And there's no limit as to what Christians you can build up. If your gift is showing mercies, you can show mercy and edify every other believer. If it's teaching, you can edify every other believer with that teaching and so forth. So it's a wonderful thing that God has given. He's given us these gifts that make each individual Christian invaluable to the rest of the entire body. And he does that intentionally in order to build up the unity of the body, because there's so much in the angelic realm, there's so much in the world and even sin natures that has a tendency to distract from unity. So it's a wonderful thing that God has done. Well, in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, Paul then explained how and why these gifts were given as follows. First, Christ gave the starter gifts that are meant to equip other gifted believers to minister. It's much like a spark plug in a cylinder of an engine. The spark plug ignites and sets a spark out, and it ignites the gasoline that's in the chamber there, and the gasoline explodes, and it drives the piston in the cylinder, and the piston drives the crankshaft and so forth, and everything else in the car is driven as a result of it. But it has to start with a spark. If you don't have a spark from the spark plug, you got a problem. It doesn't work. So these gifts are like spark plugs that God has put. And Christ first gave only to the early church the foundational starter gifts as apostles and prophets. We don't have those gifts today, but we had them given to us. And what's important is that they wrote down their information for us. So that information is available for us in Scripture. But we'll get into that. Christ gave the early church apostles, authoritative delegates from Christ himself, Ephesians 4:11-8. Now some men like Andronicus, Junius in Romans 16:7, and Apollos, 1 Corinthians 4:6-9, had the gift of apostleship, but not the office. They couldn't write scripture. Where the 12 and Paul had the gift and the office of apostleship, where they could write scripture. The apostles edified, exhorted, and comforted other believers in giving God's word. Christ also gave the church prophets, those who foretold future events to the church. The messages of the prophets were validated as being of God by their test against the truth of previously established canonical scripture. We know that from Romans chapter 12, verse 6. If any man prophesy, let him prophesy in accordance with the canon of scripture. So if it violated the canon of scripture, he was a false prophet. Now, Christ has also given today, and today continues to give, the starter gifts of evangelists, where evangelists are engaged in spreading the gospel, and that's similar to present-day missionaries. Missionaries many times actually have the gift of evangelists. They have the ability to go out into unreached areas, and they can evangelize unreached peoples, and they have a knack for it. They have an ability for it. They have the drive for it. They have the desire for it. And then they get out there. My father, who was involved with SIM in recruiting people for the mission field, noticed that whenever someone was actually called of God and he came across them, they had had the nation of, for example, Peru on their mind for years, and God wanted them to go to Peru. Some of them have had another nation on their mind, Ethiopia or whatever, and that's where they end up going, and that's where the Lord really powerfully used them. But God has a capacity to raise these people up. Now, there is the regular evangelist. We have evangelists in our country. Billy Graham was gifted with the gift of evangelism. We've had Reg Dunlap, who is a local evangelist, ministered in our church at times. These are people who are uniquely equipped to evangelize. Not only men, but sometimes women have the gift of evangelist. They have an unusual ability to reach out and minister to unsaved people in such a way that they don't turn the unsaved off, even though they're very direct with the Word of God and the gospel of Christ, but they have an effectiveness in reaching people for Christ. And from my perspective as a pastor, anytime you get a person who is an evangelist or gifted as an evangelist, I like to latch onto them because they're the people who are reaching out and they're able to lead unsaved people to Christ. And then they bring them into the church as a result of that tremendous outreach. So we still have that gift today. Christ has also given and today continues to give the starter gift of pastor-teacher. I'm going to explain that. The nouns pastors and teachers are governed by one single article, implying that both characteristics of shepherding, that's by comforting and guiding, and teaching, that's God's word, are exhibited in the ministries of believers who have this gift. Now, there are places in Scripture where the Bible talks about pastors without the gift of teacher. There are passages in Scripture that deal with the gift of teaching without pastor. I've met people who have claimed that they feel very comfortable teaching but not being a pastor of a church. I've been in other situations where pastors feel very comfortable pastoring, but they recognize that they don't have the gift of teaching, so they often will hire a co-elder or associate pastor to do a lot of teaching with them. But the type of gift that is here is both a pastor and teacher has a capacity to apply the Word of God very effectively and also to teach, give information that is unknown. So pastor-teachers follow the ministries of evangelists and use the spiritual or the scriptural content of both the Old and the New Testament that was authored by the foundational apostles and prophets in providing comforting guidance and instruction for the edification of the rest of the local church. When I was ordained by seven pastors, Baptist pastors in Chico, California, they recognized my gift as pastor-teacher. And it's specifically in the realm of knowledge, the gift of the ability to recall knowledge, information. And that's true. That there are sometimes people will ask questions, and I'll recall something I haven't looked at or thought of for 10 or 15 years, and boom, right come to the mind. That's the type of gift. Now, there are pastor teachers who have the gift of wisdom. they may not have the capacity to accumulate knowledge, but they instinctively have the ability to know exactly how to apply the knowledge. And those are really good pastors in that area. Second, the effect of these starter gifts is the equipping of the rest of the body that it might use its gifts for the mutual building up of the entire body. My mother once told me that she had sat under the ministry of a pastor one time who said, you got to go out and witness, you got to do this, you got to do that. And she said, I always felt that I had a sense of obligation to go and do that. But she says it wasn't until I sat under a teaching pastor in Dallas, Texas, that she said, I actually was, as a natural result of that ministry, I was out witnessing to my neighbors without even thinking about it. It was an overflow. So this is what you have to do. In the local church, if we're ministering as we ought, it should ignite the gifts of everybody else in the church. And all of a sudden, there's going to be not only outreach, there's going to be building up, there's going to be care for one another. And that's very important. Ephesians 4:12 in the King James is better understood if the commas in the verse are deleted. In other words, the starter gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers are given to the church for the church's equipping. That is, the equipping the rest of the believers in the church to exercise their spiritual gifts for the work of their ministries in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's extremely important. So Christ's aim in using the starter gifts in the church, that's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, is to bring the entire church into the unity of the Christian faith, doctrinally, and of the knowledge of the Son of God and spiritual maturity. In other words, we should get to the point where we're believing the same thing. Not only are we believing the same thing, but then we are also growing in our relationship with the Lord. We start maturing. We become steadfast. We become consistent, self-controlled. We have a more mature outlook. And when that happens, then the church really takes off on all cylinders. Then you can afford to bring new people in the church and have them discipled, because individuals will reach out and individually take people and minister. If you have an immature church, it's very, very difficult to flood a bunch of new people in and get anywhere, because they can't really be discipled. The real discipleship occurs when you've got a body of people who are mature in the Lord, and they can come along and they can dovetail in with what is being taught from the pulpit and the Sunday school classes and whatnot, and they can really come alongside new people that come in, and they can help them and minister to them. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about. So Christ's aim in using the starter gifts in the church is to bring the whole church into the unity of the Christian faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and spiritual maturity. The result of this maturity is to keep believers from being insecurely tossed about by every wind of false doctrine that comes from crafty, deceitful, scheming teachers who afflict immature believers. And boy, is there a need for that today. There are many Christians that are in many churches that are tossed to and fro because they're not getting adequate teaching. I was just reading online this morning, Barna, George Barna, who does his polls on Christians. He said, even in evangelical churches, Christians in this current generation don't even have a consistent worldview. They don't even agree with one another as to what the worldview is. And the worldview is a basic doctrinal orientation. And as a result, the church is sending very mixed signals out to the world. And the world doesn't even know what to do with the word evangelical anymore. What does it mean? So it's because there's a failure. There's been a departure from strong teaching and consistent teaching. There's been a departure from maturing in the church. And as a result, people are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. It's not unusual at all for a new person to come in who's a committed Christian and doesn't believe in eternal security or doesn't know if he should believe in eternal security. That's a basic doctrine. Or they have a concern about some aspect of the deity of Christ. People have often come from church backgrounds who think that Jesus is actually less God than God the Father. So I always take them to John chapter 1, verse 3. It says all things were created by him, was not anything that was made without him. So Christ is the creator. And when you reveal that to them, it's kind of a shock. But there's a tremendous need for becoming strong so that people aren't carried about by every wind of doctrine. And, of course, when people stop being carried about by winds of doctrine, they settle down and become peaceful, stable, secure. And that's what you want in a church. Rather, Christ wants all believers to speak the truth in love. The word actually is truthing. Paul actually coined a verb here. Truthing in love. Speaking the truth in love. That they might mature in every way in Christ, the church's head, from whom the entire body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped of God, when it all works properly, causes the entire body to edify itself in love. And that's what happens. That's where what you love to hear is when new people come in and they say, man, this is a really neat church because I met this Christian and that Christian, this Christian and that Christian. They have different gifts, but wow, they're ministering. And I love to hear that because that means that the body's functioning on all cylinders, so to speak. And the people are really being edified. And it complements the ministry of me as a pastor enormously when I see that happen, because people come right alongside, they use their gifts in their own unique way, and they build up the body. So the lesson is Christ's agenda in giving spiritual gifts was first to form the Bible's canonical truth by the foundational gifts of the apostles and prophets. Having thus established the scriptural canon, God wanted evangelists and missionaries to spread the gospel of Christ that people worldwide might believe in Christ to be saved. These new believers were then to be comforted, led, and taught by pastor teachers who expounded scripture to the rest of the church, that the rest of the church might mature in Christ as they adhered to God's truth. In turn, spiritually fed and led believers would then be equipped to use their other gifts to edify one another for the continual building up of the body of Christ. In other words, the body of Christ continually needs to be edified, built up, encouraged, comforted, so forth. So the application is, may we value the foundational gifts of the apostles and prophets who completed the canon of Scripture. And as a pastor, I am very, very appreciative of it, because that's where I get the information that I need, not only for ministering to my own heart, but to teach and to help other people in the church. It comes right out of the Word of God. That today's evangelists and pastor teachers might minister for and to the church. And then may all other believers respond to upright pastor teachers' ministries by holding to the truth to minister to build each other up. It's very important to adhere to the truth. That's why we emphasize it a lot in Epoch Church, because only as we adhere to the truth can there be real fellowship with God, and then there can be building up as God works. The Apostle John put it this way, 1 John 1:5, this then is a message that we have heard from him, that's from Christ, and we deliver unto you, that God is light. Light means God is revelation. He's revealing himself. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What that means is in God there's nothing that's unbiblical. If you want to know what God's like, it's in Scripture. If it's not in Scripture, that's not God. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we order our lives in violation or outside of Scripture, we lie. We're not in fellowship with God at all. But if we walk, if we order our lives in the light, that's in accordance with God's revealed Scripture, so that everything we're doing is in revealed Scripture, we have fellowship, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is continually cleansing us from all sin. That's why the truth is so very important. And as the truth is constantly given, constantly equipped, and God's people believe it and use it, there is tremendous nurture that occurs in each individual's life, and then that individual turns around and automatically uses his or her gift, many times without the person even realizing. They use it in such a way that it builds up other Christians, and it builds up every other Christian. One of the reasons I love to come to church is because I get built up. I get built up by the ministry of other individual Christians to me. Even though I'm a pastor, I may know a lot about the Bible and relying on the Spirit of God. But there are gifts out there that I find very beneficial when people are ministering them to me and interacting and so forth. Sometimes it might be the gift of administration, could be the gift of showing mercy. There are gifts of hospitality. There are all sorts of gifts that are out there that are very beneficial for every other Christian in the church. And it's very important for that to happen. But in order for that to happen, you've got to follow the agenda. And the agenda is very simple, using the Word of God like it is and teaching it and presenting it, and then we can grow in Christ. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you might have.